Dear ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the conference call of SNB Schneider-Neureither & Partner SE regarding the presentation of the Q2 results 2019. At our customer's request, this conference will be recorded. As a reminder, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. If any participant has difficulty seeing the conference, please press star key followed by zero on your telephone for operator assistance. May I now hand you over to Marcel Wiskow, who will lead you through this conference. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Thank you for joining us to discuss our results for the second quarter 2019. I'm joined by our CEO, Dr. Andreas Schneider-Neureither, and Dr. Uwe Schwelbach, our CFO. Also joining us for the first time are our two new board members, Michael Eberhardt, COO, and Frank Hohenadel, CHRO of SNB. Both will introduce themselves in the course of the call. In addition, on our investor relations website, you can find our quarterly statement and the used presentation for this call. With that, I would like to turn over the things to our CEO, Dr. Andreas Schneider-Neureither.
Good afternoon. I will start with highlights of the last half year. First of all, like announced also last year, we had changes in the management. We hired two more senior executives, Michael Eberhardt, the CEO, and the Chief HR Officer, Frank Hohenadel, who will introduce themselves after my talk. Also, we have two new members in our board of directors. It's one, Dr. Klaus Kleinfeldt, who is also invested in SNB, and Dr. Karl Biesinger, who is a lawyer and working long-term with us. Some very interesting new topics are now the partner management is getting better and better. Our goal is to increase the business with the partners in the next years dramatically. The first one who teamed up with us is IBM, and they will also use our software to perform and execute S/4 migration projects. They made an internal calculation, and I think it's also known that there's a lag when you would do every S/4 project by hand in this classic blue, in the classic greenfield approach or brownfield approach, we would have a lag of about 350,000 consultants globally, which is not so easy to fill. IBM decided to use our software to automate their own projects like we did in the last 20X years. We have a teaming agreement with them, and they are already working in several projects with us. Also, we have a lot of other partners, like an Accenture and also an Intelligent. We will report about this in the next session, what we will have. There's also, we got a major order, more than 10 million from a global SAP project with a Swiss energy and high-tech company. This project is already running, and we are pretty much utilized in the moment. Also very interesting, when somebody remembers before we were often with SAP in a competition. Now SAP has recognized also the demand at the market that most of the customers, especially the big ones, would never go with greenfield again, like 20 years ago, from the R/2 to R/3 or from non-SAP to R/3. They initiate a so-called movement program called the SAP S/4HANA Selective Data Transition Engagement, where we are part of the group and get more or less a global stamp that we are allowed to do these kind of projects with our own software. It's more than a certification what we had already. So this is a big shot for us, because also they are telling to the customers that there's another possibility than brown or greenfield. And here, last of not least, we have a very strong order entry and a huge backlog. It's really at the record level, and it's getting more and more and more. Now we are in a situation to think how to handle these projects, because I mentioned already we are very much utilized. Okay, when we go to the next page, we started last year Bluefield, the name we protected this name or this logo already 2012, but now Bluefield is this high flexible method where on one side you have in the corner brownfield, on the other side greenfield. Bluefield means it's a methodology to execute migration or transformation project in any complexity in a one-step approach and also with near zero downtime. And it could be organizational reasons like a divestiture or an acquisition, or you expand your business or split your business, or you restructure it. And there are also a lot of technology reasons, cloudification, new releases of any software, and of course this huge wave which is coming, the upgrade to S/4HANA. And on the right side you see this is very in the beginning in our software predictive analytics, because we have the whole telemetry of mostly all ERP systems in the world, thousands of scans. And now we want to use this also to derive efficiency projects from this for our customers, also to lower the TCO. So Crystal Bridge, we brought all our software now together. Our goal is to have an end-to-end business transformation platform, and the integration of our all software products in Crystal Bridge is running pretty well. So we are just going to our customers with Crystal Bridge and all the functionality is in end-to-end. And so we have two brands, Bluefield and Crystal Bridge. So it's much easier to understand the message for our partners and also the customers. Okay, that's for now. I hand over first to Michael Eberhardt.
Okay, thanks, Andreas. I'm Michael Eberhardt. I'm with SNP since the 1st of July. I'm 56 years old, 28 years of experience in the IT service industry. I worked 11 years for IBM, 7 years CEO of the TDS AG here in Germany, and then the last 11 years I spent with HP, HPE and DXC as one company, but I was several times carved out to the new company. So I joined SNP because, first of all, I had a couple of experience with SNP in my former life. SNP was always a good partner when we did data transformation, big data transformation in critical customer environments. And the experience I made myself as a service partner with for SNP was that SNP has, let's say, an outstanding technology, very strong methodology and a very strong team in the organization to really let's streamline this digital data transformation in a way I have never seen before. There was a couple of things which I think we could make easily a big change. There was a, let's say, somehow a channel conflict. Andreas mentioned that partners are getting key for us. It's a clear aim and a clear target for us to drive significantly revenue growth through partnering with big system integrators and, let's say, local system integrators. At the same time in, let's say, all areas where we are focusing on. Our business, we are a solution provider. Our business is, let's say, naturally built up to partner with service partner on the other side. And at least the last 4 weeks since I'm here, I see significant improvements we get actively approached by different partners to have a joint go-to-market in big customers, but also in local customers across all industries. And I think Andreas showed this very well. This business will, let's say, grow in all scenarios, because you will always see organizational changes on the one hand, you see technology changes, and you see, let's say, that all customers are under the pressure to increase the business outcome at the same time. And I also see that big service companies recognize that a labor arbitrage kind of, let's say, business in a critical data environment is not the first choice going forward. So I'm more than convinced that S&P has a great foundation for success going forward. And my responsibility will be to get this, let's say, strongly orchestrated to build up the right go-to-market model, the right sales team with, let's say, a partner organization and, let's say, the related delivery organization on the other side. So I'm really happy to be here. I like the team. I like the company. And the first 4 weeks were very encouraged going forward. Thanks. I hand over to Frank.
Yeah. Hi, it's Frank Hohenadel speaking. Thanks for having the opportunity introducing myself quite quickly here. I'm 53 years old. I studied computer science and was working for Lufthansa quite a couple of years in the IT environment. And then I worked quite a long time for Deutsche Telekom in different duties. I started with a couple of different IT topics. And then changed my focus more and more into HR, build up shared services, build up training organizations, were responsible for performance management, talent management, basically everything in the HR arena. Went then to KUKA, where I headed HR strategy, people and organizational development, and helped a lot on making the company internal a little bit more fitter or boosting the internal transformation. I'm really happy to be now here with S&P. As Michael, I started 1st of July. My main duties are helping the company to enable their personal growth in certainly a high-performance environment. We have to derive appropriate measures for that quantitative and certainly qualitative personal needs. On the other hand, I have an eye on actively manage the change in the company, getting the people on board, especially on our strategy and the steps, and certainly helping to develop the leadership and corporate culture at the company. I personally, I'm very glad to join that company, because for my personal track record, for me, it's again wonderful being in an IT company as a person having a strong IT background, but still being close to my topic, which I did, I would say, within the last 15 years, which is HR. Thanks for that. Now I would like to hand over to Uwe Schwelber.
Okay, hello everybody. Good afternoon from my side. We directly jump into the figures on page 6. You find an overview of the key figures for the first half year and for the second quarter 2019. Describing the overall situation of the company, I can state that we will have a totally different second half of the year than the first half of the year. So we had a dip in revenue in Q1, in Q2 versus the prior year, following a rather sluggish order entry in Q4 of 2018. Also due to a the major project earlier mentioned in the DACH region being slightly delayed between the order entry and then the real revenue recognition. So that we can see that we trended backwards from last year, and at the same time, order entry tremendously increased. The same is true for order backlog. We, as just I mentioned it again, we always have a certain time lag between the order entry and the revenue recognition. So first of all, it is also depending on, let's say, the project setup. So we need a couple of weeks between the orders in and when we really start the project until it's organized on the customer side, on our side. So there's a couple of weeks in between. Plus, according to IFRS, we recognize revenue in most of the cases, especially in services and in the software associated to the services on a monthly basis and not in one time. So what we see at the moment, what happened is after an order entry in the first quarter that was very nicely developing in the DACH region, but was balanced, unfortunately, by a lower order entry in Latin America and North America in Q1, we had a tremendous second quarter regarding order entry. And this is for us an assurance that our capacity utilization, and that means also then the profit side of the business, will very nicely develop in the following quarters, so in Q3 and Q4. Now, going back to the sheer numbers, order entry is up 27% in the first half of the year, on a record level, as Andreas mentioned. And when you look on Q2, it's up 76% versus last year. So for us, a very, very positive signals that leads to a situation that we now have to cope with those projects and have to deliver in the second half of the year. Now, on the profit side, a loss of 2 million on the EBITDA level versus minus 3.5 million in the last year. EBIT is comparable to last year at minus 5.9 million. Now, I will comment on our outlook for the year later. I can already tell right away that we confirm our outlook because of the very high order entry, because as mentioned earlier, we will see definitely a totally different second half of the year than the first half. Equity is up 44%, cash is a little bit up against prior year, and our assumption is that with the nice EBIT development in the second half of the year, plus some working capital measures, we will get back to comparable levels as at the beginning of the year for the end of the year 2019 regarding our cash situation. Employees are down to 1,237. Since 1 or 2 months, we are also there turning our strategy. We are now rushing into an employment mode. We're strongly looking for individuals joining us in order to cope with the new situation on the order entry side. Page 7, again, on the strong order entry, also some details, a year-over-year comparison, first 17 to 18 plus 17%, now again plus 27%, so also a long-term perspective that really is speaking in favor of us. And then I want to pick out another topic, that the pickup is happening in the S/4HANA environment, and that is so strategically important for us because that's where we want to be, and that's where we see also the big potential of our products and our services. When you compare to last year, you know, so we tripled the order entry in this environment, and I think that's that's the strong signal we were waiting for since a couple of months. On the next slide, page 8, we also see a long-term trend in the share of the software revenues. Also, this is according to our strategy. We execute, we push software sales. We're at 25%. We are counting with about a 30% share as a run rate at the end of this year, because we see also when we look into our pipeline, a very strong software share. On the next slide, number 9, you see also the increasing rate of software license revenues. Also something that we are strategically striving for. We execute also in this environment, and that's something that we also push very much on the sales side. For the first time, we show software as a service revenues. That's a smaller portion, 1.2 million euro. It's the analytics side of our business that we first time show as software as a service. On the next page, you see the increasing importance of the non-DACH revenues. So while DACH, the DACH revenues have been creeping up, we also see that the non-DACH revenues strongly increased. On the next slide, I do comment on the balance sheets, the balance sheets and the situation on the asset side. We see that the current assets decreased by 14.4 million. There's a 16.9 million reduction in cash equivalents. I will comment on the cash situation in a couple of slides in detail. This is due to the negative results due to purchase price liabilities and payment of current employee liabilities. That's the main effect on the current asset side. Non-current assets increased by more than 20 million, and this is mainly due to the first-time application of IFRS 16 regarding leases and rental agreements. That is, if you want, so a sheer prolongation of our balance sheet. On the passive side, on the next page, number 12, on the equities and liabilities, current liabilities increased by about 4 million with a couple of effects there. I think I'll just point out the main one. It's the 6.9 million increase in financial liabilities due to a promissory note loan that has been increased due to a reclassification. So it's just a reclassification topic. We also see the effect of the first-time application of IFRS 16 on the passive side in different areas with an effect of 4.6 million in the current liabilities. Non-current liabilities increased by 5.6 million, most of it by an increase in financial liabilities, but also an effect in IFRS coming from IFRS 16 due to the non-current leasing liabilities that increased by 11.2 million. Equity declined a little bit. Equity ratio now at 40 came down from 45.7% to 41.7%. Now, as announced on the next slide, you see the comments for the regarding the cash flow. Operating cash flow is negative 8 million. It's due to the loss of the period, also a reduction in trade payables and other liabilities, an increase in trade receivables. As mentioned, we have a couple of measures in place that will ensure that at the end of the current business year, we will be back at the level of cash that we have been at the beginning of this year. Investing activities, when you compare to the last couple of years, very low activities, just the payments for the purchase price installments out of the former acquisitions. On page 14, you find the cash flow from financing activities. It's just the settlement of leasing liabilities of 4.4 million, cash equivalents assets at 23 million. Our second year expectations, an improved earnings situation, further working capital measures. We have a smaller purchase price installments that will lead to the level that we have seen before. Now I think it all drills down to our guidance situation for 2019. As said, we had a sluggish first year regarding the revenue side. We have very high order entry that is reflected here also in our guidance. And this will lead to the forecasted revenue of between 145 and 150 million with a strong strategic focus on the software side of the business, coming up to a portion of about 30%. So also the backlog situation at the end of the year we forecast at a very high level, so that we are also positive for the year to come. EBIT margin should be in the low double-digit percentage range for the second half of the year, balancing out the first half of the year, so that we will end in the lower to mid single-digit percentage range as announced. So that's it from my side. I think we can move to the Q&A session now.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question for our speakers, please dial 01 on your telephone keypad now to enter the queue. Once your name has been announced, you can ask a question. If you find your question is answered before it is your turn to speak, you can dial 02 to cancel your question. If you are using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selection. One moment, please, for the first question. The first question comes from Gerhard Ogonis, Berenberg. Your line is now open.
Yeah, hi, good afternoon. I have a couple of questions, please. First of all, on your guidance, how do I have to think about Q3 versus Q4 with the Swiss contract now up and running? Is Q3 already going to be a quarter where you're going to have 30% sales growth and a double-digit margin, or is that something that we should only see in Q4?
So we see it mainly in Q4. So Q3 also a positive quarter, but the main impact will come out of Q4.
But Q3 will be profitable, then?
Yeah.
Okay. Next question would be on the headcount reduction. Do you expect to reduce the headcount further, or are you now at the level where you feel comfortable?
No, we're again in a mode we're climbing up, and maybe Frank, do you want to comment on this?
Yeah, I can already comment. So we have already managed to increase the headcount in July. So we are as of now back to I believe 1,265, which is an increase of almost 30 people in July.
All right. Okay. And maybe on a regional level, I can see that DACH is doing very well, also maybe in the order intake, and maybe a word on the other businesses, how they're faring right now, LATAM, China, US.
Yeah, LATAM, we still face a turbulent environment, and we reacted to this environment at the end of the last year and in the first quarter, with the strategy to take on orders at a very low and unattractive daily rate in order to ensure capacity utilization. And that led to a certain loss, but we could keep the team. And now the strategy pays off in the sense that we see that the daily rates are climbing up immensely in Q2. And for the projects now to come, we will have a profitable project profitability, and that will balance out the losses in the first half of the year. And then you asked about North America. North America, we ended end of Q1 a very big project, and we could not follow up with. Let me phrase it in another way. The project pipeline didn't materialize immediately, so that we had a lower capacity utilization now in Q2. But there also on the order entry side, we had some very positive signals, so that the capacity utilization now beginning in Q3 will climb up again, so that we're positive for the year. China is doing well since the beginning of the year. We had a loss-making situation in earlier years, but with a couple of measures in the second half of 2018, we now turned the business into a profitable one and a contributing one. It's prospering. We see a nice growth. So we're very positive about China.
Okay. And maybe one more on the net cash position. Did I understand you correctly that you want to have a net cash that would be similar in to the end at the end of 2019 to the end of 2018, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And why did you? I saw that in the report there was a $3 million upfront rental payment in the U.S. at arm's length. So I believe that's a building that belongs to Mr. Schneider and Neureiter. Why did you make a $3 million upfront rental payment for this? Why is this not a regular rental contract?
So you have to see the general situation in the U.S. We have a new CEO on board since the beginning of the year. When we came up with our budget for 2019, we said, okay, one of the major pillars will be and heavy investment in the U.S. sales organization in the U.S. market. We doubled our sales force in the U.S. this year, and the contract is for a customer experience center based in Dallas, Texas, which perfectly fits, let's say, this strategy. And from a commercial point of view, the conditions going with that upfront payment were so attractive that the company decided to take that upfront payment rather than a monthly installment.
Okay. Thank you.
The next question is from Lukas Spang, journalist. Your line is now open.
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen. Good afternoon, Dr. Schwelbach. I have three questions. The first one is on the utilization in the first half of the year and the Q2. Can you give us some indication of the utilization also versus the previous year?
When we compare to previous year, the utilization in Q1 2018 was higher, and it was also a slightly higher in the second quarter. In general, our utilization in the first 6 months have been at a lower level. And this will now climb up tremendously in the second half of the year.
So what would your assumption for the second half of the year in this case?
That we, for example, in the DACH region, climb over the 80% mark again. Yeah.
Versus the first half year?
Much lower.
Okay, but below 70 or what?
Yes,
about?
also below 70. Yeah.
Okay. And then you mentioned a delay in the project with 1.2 million in the report. Can you give us some details about this? Is it also referring to the big project you won and started in June?
Indeed, it is, and it's from our point of view totally on the customer side that the customer took much longer than expected to get ready for the project.
And are you in plan right now?
We're catching up, so there we do not foresee any delay in the project. We still have the same milestones and the same project length.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
At the moment, there are no further questions. As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone. The next question is from Thomas Kaiser, private investor. Your line is now open.
Yeah, hello, welcome to all of you. Question for me, the conditions with IBM, are they already negotiated? And is Crystal Bridge also part of the deal? And is this deal a template for the other partnerships to come? And secondly, to Mr. Schwilbach, in the last call, you expected a high utilization rate and profitability in Q2 and Q3. What happens to see that week, Q2? And at last, to Mr. Ebert, very welcome to the company. How do you expect to solve the problems in the profitability and pricing situation? And what goal do you see to reach in the future in terms of profitability? Thank you.
Okay, so I think I
can talk about the IBM. Mostly everything is negotiated. Also, IBM has a price list. And exactly this model, what we start with IBM will be like a pattern for a lot of for other partners also, especially the big ones. Yeah? It will be a global contract, and we are establishing a team in IBM, train them that they are doing their own projects. Yeah, this is the goal.
What time do this team start?
Within this year.
Okay. Thank you.
Now I take the question. Crystal Bridge.
Ah, of course. Crystal Bridge is IBM is using it already extensively in all their sales pitches. Also, the sales team are using Crystal Bridge to show the analysis, and also later they will run their projects with Crystal Bridge. That's exactly so.
Okay, thank you.
Now, an answer to your question about the forecast for the capacity utilization. I think I mentioned the two main points already. First, it's exactly that one project that was delayed by 6 weeks that we were expecting it to come early in Q2. Now, we have it seen really starting in June. So that had a great impact on the DACH capacity utilization that we had not taken into account when we were talking about this for the last time. And also the situation in the US where we had a couple of opportunities not materializing out of our sales funnel. So that's the two major topics there.
Okay.
Here's my keyboard. So last question was about growth and profitability. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So when you look to our second half here, what Uwe have presented to you is, I think our profitability is very much, let's say, depending on two items. One is the utilization of our own team, and the second part is the upsell of our software licenses. So S&P will move from a more service providing company to a more kind of solution company around big digital data transformation projects. And that means our growth plan for the next two to three years is significantly above the market rate. So we plan with a strong digital double-digit growth scenario. And in this growth scenario, we have a plan to be, let's say, to achieve something like 20% to 25% EBITDA margin, which is, let's say, which is normal since we are investing in the further growth area. The growth will be generated, let's say, through a very dominating, strong indirect partner go-to-market model, which beside the IBM discussion we just had, we had very good feedback from other partners like Indian system integrators, big, let's say, American system integrators, but also, let's say, local partners like Mischke-Hoffmann & Partner or IT-Legends or others. That means the value of SNP is very much linked to the IP we have in our organization. So as I said, I'm very much encouraged that we can drive this business significantly on the top line, but also on the bottom line.
Okay, thanks a lot.
The next question is from Sandra Sommer, MainFirst. Your line is now open.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question. I have a couple. Would you be able to confirm if you need any more large deals in the second half of the year to make your guidance, or with the current set of contracts that you've signed, you're quite comfortable with achieving the guidance? That's my first question. And in terms of the second question, so if we take a step back and look at maybe 2020, 2021, how do you think you can address the volatility in terms of your top line? Obviously, the Swiss contract comes to an end, as I understand it, by the end of this year, which means the second half of next year you need to have a similar contract to fill in the gap. So how should we look at the overall volatility of top line at S&P? Thanks.
Yeah, yes, Mike. I think very good question. Thanks a lot for that. It's very obviously that one of the weaknesses of S&P is, let's say, the capability in our own service unit. That means we need to get more independent from, let's say, the dependency of single contributor. And that is part of our strategy move towards, let's say, a much stronger partner go-to-market model. And that means when partner comes in, we will support the partner, we will train the partner, but we have a much stronger multiplicator in the market for the service business. And our aim is to sell more software licenses and to get our IP distributed through the partner channel. So, and as I said, this was already started before we joined the company, but I think we see that the market is accelerating and the acceptance of S&P has significantly improved the last 6 months. So I'm really encouraged to see what how we can drive this forward. From a dependency on a big project, we just had a discussion about the utilization in the second half here. And as Uwe said, I think this is we are almost, let's say, utilized in an area that we have more, let's say, challenges to find the right people behind that one. We are not depending on a single big project, but we are for sure we are looking for accelerating the order entry in the second half year to have a very strong, let's say, run towards Q1 and Q2 next year. So that means our guidelines is book to bill needs to be significantly positive, let's say significantly above one. That means order entry needs to be let's say always bigger than the revenue we show in the quarter. And the second part is we do a very consequent pipeline management. That means the pipeline is filled up, and there are a couple of big deals. And I would say if we only get to something like 30% to 40% of the deals we have in the pipeline, our challenge is more on how do we deliver.
Okay, perfect. Thanks.
We have a follow-up question. It is from Lukas Spang, journalist. Your line is open.
Yes, one follow-up from my side. maybe also to Mr. Eberhardt. One of the goals of S&P is to achieve more or less a 50-50 ratio of services versus software in the future. And now you mentioned the 20% to 25% EBITDA margin in the coming years, which is more or less the case of a higher margin in the software business and the more less lower margin in the service business. So what is your opinion in the time frame to achieve this 50-50 ratio?
I'm very confident that when I look to 2020, by the end of 2020, I would say we are close to this ratio, and this is very much accelerated by our indirect go-to-market model, because as soon as we are in the indirect model, most of the partners where we are in let's say, deep discussion right now, their business plan is to do system integration and to support their customer on, let's say, carve-outs, splits, merger, or even more on this S4HANA upgrade move campaign. And that means they are highly interested in our IP and in the support model of SNP, but they are the front runner on the service part. That means the services, the maturity of the services will be driven by their own delivery organization, which is a perfect fit for us going forward. Uwe, anything to add from your side?
No, that's fine.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
There are no further questions. I would like to hand back to you, gentlemen.
Okay, if there are no further questions, so we thank you very much, and we would conclude our Q2 earnings call for today. Thank you all for joining, and goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your attendance. This call has been concluded. You may disconnect.